Hello and welcome in to this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. As always, this podcast is free and available on all the major platforms. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at TalkNats. And the best way that you can help grow this show is to subscribe or follow the TalkNats podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Give it a 5-star rating. I sure would appreciate it. So in this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, we talk about cuts to the Nationals roster. Yes, we are getting down to the nitty gritty and two players that, I think we ultimately knew were going to get cut, but it doesn't make it any easier. Robert Hassel III and Brady House. What is it going to mean for them, and how are they ultimately ever going to find a spot on the big team? I'll talk about that a bit later. I'll talk about Josh Bell. And did the Nationals acquire Josh Bell in the first place with the knowledge that they were going to trade him at some point to this season? I'll talk about that. And then a bit later, I'll talk about a player that we haven't spoke of too often. I haven't spoke of at all on this show. And you don't hear a lot of the Nationals insiders talk about. I'm talking about Seth Schumann. But before we get going here, a word from our sponsor at BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for betting on all the madness. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. With the largest selections of odds on everything from college basketball to a $200,000 bracket contest, BetOnline continues to be your number one sports betting source. From every Cinderella story to hat trick, BetOnline has you covered with odds, stats, and more for every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. So let's dive into that. The latest with your favorite baseball team and mine, the Washington Nationals, as they gear up for the start of the regular season. And, like I talked about off the top of the show, these cuts, we know that they're coming, but it doesn't make it any easier. And to a certain extent, it's got to be frustrating for a guy like Robert Hassel III and Brady House. As you know, you can put in a good camp, but where am I going to fit in? For Robert Hassel III, you take a look at Jake Young, you take a look at Cruz, you take a look at Wood. Where do I fit in? And how many years will it be before I can even possibly crack the roster? You hate to say it, but to a certain extent, do you think like for Hassel and Brady House, they're almost hoping for injury, or if not injury, inconsistent play? Because Brady House, that's another question mark. He is the future, in air quotes, at the third base position for the Nationals, but they have DeYoung there. And it's not just DeYoung, there's other options. So it has to be exceedingly difficult to be patient for two players in particular. I'm talking Robert Hassel III and Brady House. But the one thing we know is they won't be making the Nationals opening day roster, a decision that ultimately most of us saw coming. For them to crack the big league camp, it's clear that they need to really shine and perhaps even hope for some injuries among our established players. Now, before Jacob Young, you know, let's rewind time a little bit. When Jacob Young got that call up a couple seasons ago already here, I don't think there was any grand plans of him making the impression that he did. At that particular season, they were kind of cycling through different players to get a good look at him. And Jacob Young was one of those players. And what did he do? He impressed. He impressed last season. What do we remember? He is really great in the field. He has a lot of speed. And you know, when I host these shows, whether it be about the Capitals or the Nationals or whatever the case is, I always talk about it's important not to pick favorites. And I'm here to tell you it's difficult, as I am really pulling for Hassel. I'm really pulling for Brady House. And it's nothing against a player like Jacob Young, who, you know, on paper doesn't seem like he would be in over a Robert Hassel. But he's done everything that he needs to do to stay in the roster. We saw his transformation from hitting the gym and how he's absolutely jacked this season. you know, that if he could work on his swing and, you know, just being a better hitter, then you kind of have the complete package. You know, he is a great fielder. He's got a lot of speed. There's not a lot I would change about Jacob Young's game. So that is what makes it difficult for a guy like, you know, Robert Hassel III in particular. So the big question is how close are these young prospects to being ready for the majors? Davey Martinez has been hopeful, suggesting both players have a bright future, perhaps eyeing a debut in the 2025 season. And in the next segment, I'll talk about where they could potentially fit in, talking Josh Bell. But however, he also stressed that consistency and more experience in the minors are key for their development. And if you are an everyday listener or you listen to this show on the regular, shall we say, you know, I talk about, you know, the young players on this team. And in one of the more recent episodes, I talked about Brady House. And, you know, that oftentimes these players, they make it to the AAA level and they feel like they're just right there. They can taste it. They can feel the big light shining down on them. It's just a matter of time, but you have to put the work in minor league baseball. You have to marinate a little bit if there's any hopes for bigger things. But taking a closer look at Robert Hassel III, he's really turned heads this spring with a stellar 370 batting average, 17 hits out of 46 at-bats, including six extra base hits and some highlight reel plays in the field. Again, this is what makes it difficult for me as a Nationals fan to not have him in the mix. It was kind of how I had everything penciled in. It was Cruz, it was Hassel, and it was Wood. But things have changed. Now, while he might not have the same offensive firepower as James Wood or the defensive skills of Nazem Nunez, Hassel's well-rounded game has set him apart. There's been chatter about him stepping in as our center fielder, but with Jacob Young, who's been, well, nothing short of gold glove caliber player, dominating that position, Hassel has some work to do at AAA before he gets the call up. So, you know, it's an interesting position for the Nationals to be in. You have this young talent, and I understand that Robert Hassel is young. Jacob Young is rather young, for that matter. That how many years are you going to put in the minors? You know, especially, you know, if this Jacob Young Wood Cruz things works really well this season, you know, this could be the face of the outfield for years to come. And can you be patient, or, you know, do you want to get dealt to a team that's going to give you at least potentially some playing time? So next, let's shift our focus to Brady House. Though he has more AAA experience than Hassel, 54 games last season with a .250 batting average and a .655 OPS, he's still a young man, 21 years old. He struggled a bit with his strikeout to walk ratio, but he's shown he's improving this spring, hitting .333 with seven hits in 21 at-bats. So he's made the most of his opportunity. What we need to see from him is continued results at the AAA level. There's no time to sulk. There's no time to say, woe is me. That is not going to get you your opportunity. Plus, he's made significant strides transitioning to third base, and that's definitely exciting for the team. As we know, he's had history at shortstop, and that's a logjam as well with C.J. Abrams in there for the foreseeable future. So you take a look at the current third base position. Right now, Paul DeJong is set to make the third base responsibilities with Ahmed Rosario or Jose Tena backing him up. But what are some of the things that we know is that DeJong isn't signed to a long-term deal, that he very well could get flipped at the trade deadline? We don't know. Say Brady House is just lights out at AAA. It could definitely be a possibility. But let's be honest, neither of those options is a long-term fix. I'm talking to Young, Rosario, or Tena. This opens up a potential pathway for House to secure his place once he's ready to shine. So the question as Nationals fans here is when can we expect to see them? So when can we expect to see them? It's still a bit of a mystery for now. Could be May, July, or even September. It just ultimately depends on what kind of production we get out of a Jacob Young, those kind of players. I don't see a scenario where Wood or Cruz get sent down to the minors. So as far as Hassel, that is one of the scenarios. It all comes down to both Hassel and House and how they perform in the minors. If they can maintain that consistent excellence, they could play a significant role in the Nats' rebuild journey that started over 3 years ago. So to wrap it up here, it's on them, right? To hope that they can live up to what we had all hoped that they can be or could be. And, you know, I think that the trajectory of Robert Hassel III, I think that Brady House is there. And it's a tough thing. And I can kind of almost put myself in their shoes where you think you're just on the cusp of greatness. And you know what? Jacob Young is a logjam in there. You know, you thought you were locked to be in at third base. At least you got to think that that is what Brady House is thinking. And then the Nationals acquired DeYoung. So patience in this young player, for these young players, is what I would preach. It's got to be a bit difficult at the end of the day. All right. So coming up here after the break, we'll talk about Josh Bell. And, you know, he's an interesting player. I talked to some Nationals fans and they're like, wow, we got some power back. We got Josh Bell, who's going to knock it out of the park. And well, maybe, but if you look at his numbers, they haven't been as great in the last couple years. And did the Nationals ultimately acquire him because they knew they were going to trade him at some point? I'll discuss straight ahead. Hey everyone, if you're looking to catch an exciting game this season, I've got some great news for you. SeatGeek is the app you need for the easiest ticket buying experience. Whether you're cheering for the Capitals or rooting for the Nationals, you can find the best seats at amazing prices. Don't miss out on the action. Just click on the link in my description and use the promo code MINUTECAST to score 20% off your first purchase. Grab your tickets now and get ready for an unforgettable game day. That's promo code MINUTECAST for $20 off your first ticket purchase. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, simulcast on the Believe in Nationals podcast feed. So let's next talk about Josh Bell. Oftentimes, and I cover the Capitals for Locked On, there's vintage vibes. We were very happy when the National or the Capitals got back Jacob Vrana. You know, these kind of things that we were happy when Lars Eller came back to the team because of a better time in the Capitals' history. And I think that kind of falls in the same category with Josh Bell and the Nationals. They remember the power that he had in his bat. But ultimately, why did the Nats part with him in the first place? Did they see a depreciation in his game where they were led to believe that his better days were behind him? So if that is in fact true, why acquire him in the first place? Why try to bring him back? It is for potential power, and maybe it's getting a 30,000-foot view in the Nationals knowing that they were going to trade him at some point this season anyway. So today we're diving into some big news concerning the Nationals and first baseman DH Josh Bell, and it's been a roller coaster ride for him. He's become a regular in trade discussions over the past few seasons. Reports from CBS's Mike Axisa suggest that Bell is among the top 10 players likely to be traded ahead of the upcoming deadline, which could mark his fourth consecutive year of potential moves. And it's a chess match, right? I think that we've seen the Nationals do this historically in Candelario, if you remember that deal, where the Nationals got a good return. Is there the possibility that the Nationals could try to move Josh Bell? The one thing we need from Josh Bell in order for this whole thing to work is good numbers. If he totally stinks for the Nationals, well, that is not going to yield a big return. So, you know, it's a tough thing approach to take, because if he's playing very well, you're like, well, he's playing well. The Nationals are in a good position. Why do we want to move him? Listen, there is no long-term plans for Josh Bell on this team. And can you believe it? He hasn't played a full season with the same team since 2021. I think that is kind of all you need to hear about him, is that there's the potential of power, but I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch, if you will. But the significance of the one-year contract, now let's talk about this one-year contract, means for both Bell and the Nats. With the team projected to struggle this season, it certainly raises the likelihood of him being on the trading block. And what do I mean struggle? There's a lot of potential. No proven things. You know, you take a look at Mackenzie Gore getting the start to start the regular season, but you got Cruz, you got Wood, you got CJ Abrams, you got K-Bert Ruiz, some young talent. that isn't proven. We've seen glimpses of greatness from CJ Abrams. We don't know what a full season of Cruz and what it's going to look like. So that's what I say. There's a potential to struggle. Now, while he hasn't always been the most consistent player, his switch hitting power bat definitely makes him an appealing option for many contending teams out there. The caveat, like I talked about, is that we need to see production for him, even if the Nationals intend to flip him. Now, at 32 years old, he's not a spring chicken. Bell seems to thrive under pressure, especially when traded. So if he can perform at or near his career averages, we could see some serious interest from several teams. You know, maybe if the Nationals are way out of it, hey, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying anything is possible, that there could be a team that might be looking for a little bit of juice in their bat. Now, he's primarily been serving as the DH hitter this season, and we've seen that in the other teams he's played for, particularly after the Nats brought in Nathaniel Lowe, who's viewed as a stronger defensive option at first base. Again, another question mark. I ultimately like the Nathaniel Lowe deal, but exciting young talents in the minors. Now, looking ahead, the Nats have some exciting young talent in the minors. Andreas Chaparro, Juan Yepes, outfielder Robert Hassel III, any of whom could step into that DH role. So in the first segment, I talked about House. I talked about Hassel. And where could they fit in? What needs to happen in order for them to get worked into the lineup? That's what I'm talking about. Maybe for a Robert Hassel, that would mean accepting a DH role. He probably wouldn't love it. I think he would, you know, at the end of the day, he would love it. He's playing in the bigs. But I think that, you know, his above all end all is to be the outfielder and also be a great bat. But and taking a look at Hassel, like I said, phenomenal spring training with a 370, 408, 544 slash line and 49 plate appearances. So if he keeps that momentum going, it might push the Nationals to create some space at the DH spot at some point this season. So a lot of moving pieces, you know, a lot of balls in the air, as they say. And I think it's important to know that the roster that we see out there is written in pencil. It is not written in stone. So we know that Hassel, we know that Brady House, they're not going to start the season with the Nationals. That's already been determined. It's all about waiting for your opportunity and hoping that the production that you've had in the minors is going to you know, speak volumes to the big team saying, hey, we need, you know, Robert Hassel's bat on this team or Brady House or whatever the case might be. So the onus is ultimately on a lot of these young players to prove what they have. Now, potential trade destinations, it's a difficult name, pointed out that the Seattle Mariners and Twins could be a potential landing spot for Bell. And you take a look at it, the Minnesota Twins are a team that has floundered for years, clinging so desperately to their World Series win in 87 and 91, not like it was yesterday. So there's teams out there that could be on the cusp of bigger and better things, the Mariners as well, that maybe they could be looking for a bat like his. Now, the Mariners would make sense, though they seem to be playing it safe with their roster moves. On the other hand, the Twins might also express interest depending on how Ty France performs this season. So, you know, to wrap it all up here, as we get closer, you know, to starting the season here, and at some point the trade deadline, you know, we haven't even started the season. I'm talking about the trade deadline, but we know it's going to be here before you know it. You know, the start of the season is around the corner. Before you know it, it's going to be the 4th of July, and you know how the seasons go. So just everything's going to happen a lot sooner than we think, and it's going to be a game-by-game, a series-by-series decision on which direction this team needs to go. This is the season we need to take steps forward. I do not want to go into the postseason, or I don't want to go into the offseason talking about how the Nationals, you know, didn't hit their mark, but they're going to be better next year. I'm not saying they're going to win a World Series this year, but they have got to take steps forward. They have got to be competitors this season. You take a look at a lot of the insiders, MLB insiders. There's not a lot of them. I haven't really found anyone that projects the Nationals to do truly great things. Hey, if you're a DC fan, this was the same story for the Capitals. No one said the Capitals were going to do anything. They made those moves to acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois, Chychrun, Logan Thompson. And what have the Capitals done? They are atop of the Metro, the Eastern Conference, and tied for the most points in the NHL. Could this be the making for the Nationals as well. I know that it's not a cookie cutter carbon copy thing that happens between sports, but if they could even replicate that, even in small part, that could be a game changer. All right, so coming up here after the break, we'll talk about a young pitcher that hasn't been spoke of a whole lot. You have to kind of dig deep to find anything about him. Who is this mysterious pitcher I speak of? I'll discuss straight ahead. Hey, podcast fans, if you're on the hunt for a delicious high-protein snack, look no further than Righteous Felon. This family-owned brand is all about premium pasture-raised black Angus beef, hormone and antibiotic-free, with mouth-watering flavors like OG Hickory and 10 grams of protein per serving. You'll get the boost you need for all your daily adventures. Plus, they have keto-friendly and gluten-free options, and they support sustainability with the Conservation Alliance. Ready to snack smarter? Use promo code MINUTECAST for 15% off your order. Follow the link in the show description and grab your new favorite snack today. That's promo code MINUTECAST. And head on over to Righteous Felon at the show at the link in the show description today. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Bleav Podcast Network, Talk Nats and Bet Online. Let's talk about spring training, and spring training with this young team that's still a bit in transition is sometimes you run into a name like, I didn't, you know, ever really notice this player. I'm thinking, you know, DJ Hers. I'm thinking Mitchell Parker last season, that maybe names that were on your radar, but until you saw them play, you're like, I didn't realize that we had such a great talent. So today we're diving into some exciting highlights from the second annual spring breakout game hosted by Major League Baseball. If you missed it, these games are a fantastic opportunity for prospects from all 30 teams to showcase their talents in front of big crowds during spring training, even if some of them aren't quite ready for the bigs yet. And I'm talking here most recently about the Nats versus the Astros. One of the standout matchups was between our very own Nats and Astros. Yarlin Susana, the flamethrower, one of our highly touted prospects, took the mound, but unfortunately had a tough outing. He allowed 4 hits and 5 runs over just 1.2 innings. Now, while also walking 5 batters and striking out 1, definitely not the performance we were hoping from him. Again, you know, another player that I think is going to be good and major league ready at some point, but it's not always your game. So one player kind of really stood out, and a name I'm going to be honest with you, I was not very familiar with, and that is Seth Schumann. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about that guy, Seth Schumann. He's a name that might not be on everyone's radar, but wow, did he impress? Coming in to finish the game for the Nats, he turned heads and earned a spot on MLB Pipeline's spring breakout second team, making him the only Nationals prospect to receive this honor. And honest with you guys, I'm not talking about, you know, the guys from Talk Nats. They know all the players. But as a casual Nationals fan, how familiar were you with the name Seth Schumann? Seth, the 27-year-old right-hander, pitched 3 solid innings in relief. He allowed 3 hits, but didn't give up a single run. That's what I'm talking about. Seizing the day, making the most of your opportunities. He racked up 3 strikeouts without issuing any walks. Even though he's not currently listed among our top 30 prospects, it's clear that his time in the minors is paying off. Again, what is his trajectory? You know, what do we know about him? So let's dig into a bit of the backstory on him. He was drafted in the 6th round of the 2019 MLB draft by the Athletics after an impressive career at Georgia Southern University. He got off to a strong start in the minors with a 2.39 ERA in 11 games in short season ball. But like many players, his development hit a snag in 2020 due to, well, the pandemic. And that was the case for a lot of different players. Schumann later found his way to the Nationals in a trade that also brought catcher Yan Gomes and second baseman Josh Harrison to DC. Last season, despite a challenging record of 2-8, not last season, he maintained a solid 3.69 ERA while striking out 93 batters in 90.1 innings. Time flies here. In 2022, while pitching over a high A Wilmington, Seth had a 3-2 record with an impressive 3.23 ERA over 14 starts. Not too bad. Sadly, his second season ended prematurely due to an elbow injury that required Tommy John surgery in 2023. That didn't help his case, further delaying his path to the bigs. But looking ahead, Seth's potential breakout season after his recovery, Schumann is back and ready to make his mark. He pitched for four different minor league affiliates last season, eventually stepping up for Double-A Harrisburg. By the end of the season, he had held a 3-5 record with a 4.10 ERA in 18 games and 59 strikeouts over 63.2 innings pitched. So you take a look at those stats, and they don't jump out at you like, oh, wow, that guy is next level right now. But you know, what we've seen from here recently kind of lends us to believe it. Now, ultimately, of course, I would like to see a larger sample size, but with that surgery behind him, Seth Schumann is eyeing a potential breakout season in 2025 with hopes to finally make the major league debut by 2026. That's his charted course. That is his trajectory. We'll be keeping an eye on him as his journey continues. But, you know, sometimes it's just getting put on the radar of the big team. And in this case, Seth Schumann did just that. You know, he was given an opportunity and he made the most of it. All things considered, in a very small sample size, he pitched well. I don't want to get ahead of myself and saying he is the future of, you know, the pitching staff for the Nationals, but a really good sign from a youngster that, you know, has made his way around in the development leagues here a little bit. So let's see what he does this season. He is charting and hoping for a kick at the can next season. Let's see if he's up for it. As far as he is concerned, I don't think he should be afraid to dream. All right. Once again, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Belief Podcast Network. Talk Nats and Bet Online. I'll talk to you again next time.